The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
See you live off the record with Chivago Line is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank, Peter Roker's Gas Station, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Lawrence Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Wendy's.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. It starts today. It starts today. I told you guys before, this week we're going to be diving into personal financial management for all the people who are looking to organize themselves, strengthen themselves financially in 2026, and we have a lineup to get you there. So it starts today. Today we're going to have a look at the personal financial checkup and budgeting with the one and only Gowan Bo, Group CEO for Fidelity, our principal sponsor today. Tomorrow we're going to look at saving and investing, and we're going to have Mr. Gregory Bethel, president of Fidelity, our sponsor tomorrow, to look at that. On Wednesday, we are going to look at good credit management and the credit bureau, and we're going to be doing that with the Central Bank of the Bahamas and the Credit Bureau of the Bahamas. And then on Thursday, we're going to be looking at financial recovery and generating multiple income streams, and guess who's going to be dealing with that for you? You got it, me. And then we're going to look on Friday at insurance and risk management. All right, so we got a whole week planned for you. I know some stuff going on. I know there's lots of talk about this, and this is important because whatever happens, if you don't organize your own self, you can't take advantage of anything that happens. And if something terrible happens, you can be in worse shape. So glad you could join us today here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at some point during the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on B612. I urge you to take advantage of the opportunity to ask these experts questions because, ain't nobody can charge you for this. And so I am delighted to have him with us today, the one and only Gowan Bo. As I said, Group CEO of Fidelity, a group of companies. Welcome, 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 Mr. Bo.
My brother, Chivago Lang. Been a long time.
It's been a while, man. But I know it's been busy. Been busy. So, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, interesting times.
For sure.
And we know that, to be honest, the overall principle or foundation of this week is one that has always been near and dear to both you and I.
Yes.
And I think it's important that we will always collaborate when these things come about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I want to set a tune for people on this situation, because everyone's finances occurs in the context of a broader economic environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the environment we're operating in now, and even the one you might see emerging, say, over the short to medium term. So let's talk about that. What's the economic environment we generally find ourselves in?
Well, I think when we step back and we look at the Bahamas as we know it today, we have gone through some roller coaster times.
Mm.
If we think about Dorian starting off in 2019,
mm-hmm.
and the only reason why I start with 2019 is we know memories are short, because we could even go back For persons who are a little older like us, to the Great Recession, and
which continues to have some today, lingering effects, eh?
Because on the property market, which I know we'll talk about a bit today, in terms of delinquent mortgages, a lot of those that you see as delinquent mortgages today, persons may not believe, emerged out of 2007-2008 financial crisis that ultimately led to people going into default. And there are many persons who have not been able to recover from that, and particularly, I'm going to say, regularize their mortgage situation. So, you know, it goes that far back, but between 12 and 19, you know, most persons and most economists would have said that the world seemed to meander along. There was lethargic growth all around, with the exception of places like China, India, and some of the other developing countries. The big giants like the United States, Canada, Europe, really went through very trying times in terms of trying to figure out what the interest rate should be, where they were almost at zero globally. I know they argue about that in the Bahamas context, but in globally leading before 2020 with COVID, you had negative interest in some of the European states. And certainly in the Bahamas context, I think you've seen first, even though persons argue on two sides of the coin. They want them lower for borrowing and higher for saving. Yeah. We'll come back to that. Right. So for the Bahamas, Dorian was the first one that we saw a destruction of an economy, that being certainly Marsh Harbor, Abaco, and some of the surrounding settlements. And just as we were, if you will, coming to grips with what that really meant, you had the slam of COVID-19, which not only shut down what was Dorian for Abaco, but shut down the remainder of the Bahamas. Not unique to us, very similar to the rest of the world, with all of the lockdowns, et cetera, but the economic interruption that took place. A large number of persons furloughed, persons that found streams interrupted, and that actually stayed with us for the better part of, you know, 18 months, even though it originally started with us saying, okay, this should be short-lived. I remember even in 2021 saying, you can't believe that COVID is still among us. And I only go back there because 22 up to now has been a rebound in our national economic circumstances. And so where you started to say personal finances really are part of a broader national economic environment, the Bahamas today is actually back to where it was pre-COVID, but our growth rates are slow. So what does that mean in layman's terms? It means that what we lost as a part of Dorian and COVID, we've seen to recover ahead than we were prior to COVID-19. And that's not a criticism of administrations that were involved over that period of time. That's just a reality that we have to face, that businesses went through significant downturns, only now are starting to reinvest and starting to see the buoyancy in their profitability after many years of reduced profits. Reduced profits puts pressure on expenses. Expenses put pressure on payroll, headcount, and salaries and wages, what we do. And so when we look at the Bahamas economic fortunes, I think we saw positive news by the rating agencies last year that certainly one increased us by a notch. Put into its context, positive news, but we are in non-investment grade, and that upgrade did not. We have several more notches to come in order to achieve that. But ultimately, we are in a situation now where the future looks positive, but bear in mind that we've only gotten back to what I'm going to say level ground to where we were prior to COVID-19.
And for the average, and you know, I know there's some danger in using average because, you know, we have high income people, we have middle income people, we have low income people. But on average, what people are looking at is essentially an economy that isn't going to choke you to death, but it's not got the robustness to lift you up a whole lot. Is that fair?
I think that's the best way of describing it. That this is not one that is going to make your situations worse, but it's not personal investment and your own personal commitment. is not one that is just going to naturally provide you with a lift in income, a lift in your purchasing power, and ultimately advancement in your own economic and financial goals. So this is an environment that says there are a number of positive things. One of the areas that is very telling is if we look at our unemployment statistics,
right.
We've seen periods when the unemployment numbers have been down, and then we've seen periods when these numbers have gone back up, which indicates still some cyclicality or some seasonality, better word, in terms of ebbs and flows in employment, which means that, outside of some of the islands that are, going gangbusters as it relates to employment, generally across the Bahamas, we are seeing employment improving to the point where persons can say they are literally turning away jobs.
It's still closer to double digit than it is to low single digits, and that's it's stubbornly so. And so that's a part of the challenge. So, but you know, the good news is it's not an environment in which someone taking the initiative to do what we're going to be talking about today and the rest of the shows can't make their situation better off. But by the same token, if you make some terrible mistakes in this one, it could plunge you further into hardship. No?
I think that's a very fair statement, that this is a time, we often use cliches and we talk about crossroads. This is a time, though, where persons need to not get consumed by what I'm going to call the fanfare that's going to emerge as we go into elections. This is the time when persons need to take that look in the mirror and say, am I looking for independence in terms of my finances, meaning that I am taking actions and steps that allow me to continue to progress regardless of what takes place in the promises that come about during political cycle, and more importantly, that set me on a course for what I'm going to call the next generation as opposed to simply the next year. I think the Bahamas as a country has reached that point where we need to have a strategic plan that carries forward for the next 20 years, and persons in terms of those, whether they be just coming out of university and starting work, or those that are in the middle of their career, to look forward for multiple years and start doing the things today to allow you to have a more dignified retirement age by virtue of having a nest egg that allows you to work a little bit less as you get older.
But above the first few days in the year, first few days, in the late night, early morning, during the day, I worked my budget like a mechanic trying to fix the head gasket on one of them old cars, right? So I had to work that. I wanted to understand where am I. I mean, I always had a sense of it because I have a budget, right? But I wanted to work it and see it and do it and see what I needed to do and be and what I'll be able to do and I can't do and so forth and so forth. So I wanted to say that, to say to people, what we're going to be talking about today is not things we don't do. These are things 100%. We have to do, right?
And one of the things that interestingly enough, even as you were with that monkey wrench trying to figure it all out, and I say monkey
and
wrench.
And a big monkey wrench.
you have objectives for the future that you're looking at this budget as being a component of the wider mm-hmm. objectives, mm-hmm. meaning that you're looking at succession planning within your family.
Yes.
What is it that I am going to do and provide for my family members mm-hmm. and be able to give them opportunities that may not have been afforded to you? You're looking in terms of, well, what is it that I want to see in my asset management? So what things do I want to have an ability to acquire? What things do I want to be able to become income generating activities for me by investing today? And ultimately, your budget says to you that is to a multi-year plan that says, I know where I want to be, but it starts with the first step this year.
And so the goals matter, and where we are in our lives matters. I'm 58 years old, so I'm sorry, I don't have the luxury of just thinking about life on a day-to-day basis. I'm thinking, things happen. I'm thinking you're going to probably want to retire soon. I'm thinking My last child goes to university this year. I have another one still panning out her last set of studies on a post-degree scenario. And so you're right. If you look at my book, my planning book, the first page of the planning book are my goals and achievements for 2026. And that drove me to my budget. So you're saying, people, before you get to your budget, ask yourself what you want to do and achieve and accomplish, right?
And that's the one thing that I would say, that we have to get back to that conversation about, you know, where do you want to be? I know certainly as a youngster, you know, I was probably one of those rebellious saying, why are my grandparents and parents asking me about, you know, what I save in for property or what I save in as it relates to education and what I'm saving. You know, I would like to use my allowances to enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. But the reality was you were having those conversations that let you know that the decisions you make early on in life impact you for years to come.
Right.
And so if you are wise enough to listen to the sage persons to say, well, map out where you want to be so it allows you to start saying incrementally, how do I get there? Because it is far easier to take those incremental steps than it is to take a giant jump forward, because oftentimes, one, the ability to make that giant jump forward is dependent on others, and if it doesn't materialize, you're left without any movement. But secondly, we all know that even when it is walking up the stairs, the more stairs we have in the front of us, the better, as opposed to the larger stairs where we have to make that huge step upwards.
You know, we're going to take a break in a minute, but one of the most liberating things for me was and is to be able to see what the end looks like and to know, based on my planning and management, it really is possible to know. And, you know, and so I can say, come 2029, this is what, if God spares my life, this is what is going to happen. And then beyond that and beyond that. And that's liberating, isn't it?
And I was going to say to you that, you know, particularly when you see the big ones, but even the small outcomes, and what we'll talk about today, even if you budget to put aside $5 a week, and at the end of the week, you have $250 in the bank. You know, that small achievement, you'll be surprised at the sort of moral inspiration it provides. But also, more importantly, it gives you the reassurances that if I actually commit myself to doing certain things, I will see fruits. It may not be all that I wanted, all in the same time that I wanted. But those crowning achievements, you are exactly right. That when you come to fruition as a result of what seeds you planted early on, that certainly is a rewarding feeling.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to start. So if you have a piece of paper and a pen and you are able to do so, you want to follow the track going forward when we come back. We're talking about personal financial management. Today, we're talking about a financial checkup and budgeting. We'll be back after this break.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Tired of using technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Wendy's has brand new chicken tenders.
And they're everything you've been craving.
Crispy, juicy,
and seasoned just right.
These tenders bring the flavor from the very first bite.
Dip them,
dunk them,
love them.
With sauces like sweet chili,
scorching hot,
ranch,
honey barbecue,
honey mustard,
and Wendy's signature sauce.
Grab them on their own,
or make it a combo
that hits the spot
every time.
For tenders you're gonna know by name,
it's gotta be Wendy's.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I'm not afraid. Stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Call the warmth, letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, the first day of a series of personal financial management shows that we are doing today. We are speaking with the group CEO of Fidelity, Mr. Gawin Bo, and we're going to talk about giving yourself a financial checkup and budgeting, and we're going to start with that. So, Mr. Bo, we want to do a financial checkup. First of all, what is that?
Financial checkup is no different than a medical checkup when we go in. And you and I, the thing we hate is going to have medical checkups. And I don't know why we fear it so much. That's the one thing I'll give to our female counterparts. Mm. One thing, they feel anything out of the ordinary, they run for checkups, right? Mm-hmm. But what a checkup is effectively understanding your vital signs at a point in time, which allows you then to, if you will, plan your wider course of treatment, with the answer being an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Meaning that if you don't even know the issues that you face, it is very unlikely that you will be taking the steps to address things that may manifest themselves into much bigger problems than if they've been dealt with earlier on and there had been a checkup.
So I go to the doctor, they're looking for some particular thing, some fundamental things that might tell them, listen, I think you have a problem, or listen, your vitals are good, or you know, your BMI is good, your pressure is good, and so forth. And so they say, okay, so you maintain, keep doing what you're doing. Or they say, yeah, I don't like what I'm seeing with that pressure. It seems to be a little on the pre-hypertensive side or something like that. Same thing with the finances. There are things you're going to tell us about that will say to us, oh, you're looking good. Or, no, we have some work to do. That's right?
And that's the precise situation.
Okay.
Just like you said, when the doctor says to you, when you've identified things early on, it may be as simple as exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some more drastic steps that have to be taken where maybe you put on medication. And sometimes it's even further where there are more drastic actions. And your financial health is very, very
okay.
And really what I would say is it starts by understanding your financial position. And what is my financial position? Well, in reality is understanding, do I have a positive net value or a negative net value? And really what that's saying is, what assets do I have at this current point in time and what liabilities do I have?
Mm-hmm.
So in most instance, you want to have far more assets. We know if we had a wish list, we certainly would want to have house, car, second home, all of these assets, and very little liabilities. And we know that's the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is the fact is saying, today, what is it that I have in the form of assets? So what money do I have in the bank? What investments do I possibly have? So do I have interest in shares, some of the government bonds, some of the other fixed income instruments? Have I invested any of the funds provided by the mutual fund? Do I have real estate that may have been passed down that I may have purchased? Do I have income generating real estate? So is it a multifamily unit, maybe a duplex? Is it a broader aspect, or is it simply a property that is now sitting waiting to be developed? Do I have a vehicle and not extending what I believe the value of it is? Because we know as soon as you drive the car off of any lot or any person's yard, whatever you paid for it is worth less as soon as you reach that first stop sign, because it's an asset that depreciates. So we look at that one. We may have other elements. We may have equipment. So we have persons we know that do things that are in their second careers or second income earning opportunities. So they may have equipment. They may have lawnmowers. They may have tools. They may have equipment like the DJs in terms of some of the assets they would have acquired over time in order to plow their trade. So from that perspective, if we start by saying, what are the assets that I own as of to current date, it is being able to list all of those up.
Right. So everything. The first vital sign we're looking for is your net worth. Right? Okay. So that's
the first, asset is the first component of
the net worth. Okay. That's blood pressure.
That's right. That's it. And so we know, though, that in order to acquire some assets in various times, we may have taken on some debt.
Right.
We may have taken on debt even that may not have been for us. Taken on debt for education.
Yeah.
We may have taken on debt because of health issues. Mm-hmm. We may have taken on debt in order to support others in the family and the like in circumstances that came about. So we know that the reality is most persons, particularly those in the working age, will have started to accumulate some form of debt. And we'll come back to the, you know, what that appropriate level is, because sometimes people give the impression that debt is bad and debt is not bad. So we'll stick a pin there. But as we move forward, so what are the bank loans that I have? But in the Bahamian environment, we have other forms of credit that are quiet. And what I mean by that, what are my credit card outstanding obligations? What are my purchase hire obligations? Because I may have gone to purchase furniture. I may have gone directly to a car dealership that provided me financing. So who are all the parties that I owe, including those family members that may have given you a leg up?
Couple dollars here, a couple dollars there.
That I want to repay because I want to put them back in a positive situation, so I know what my liabilities and my obligations are.
So let's suppose I had a piece of paper in front of me, right? Doing this net worth checkup. So I would have on the left-hand side of that paper at the top, I would have assets, right? I'd have this assets. Title, yep. Assets. And then I'm going down the list, listing my assets. Now, I understand, too, that sometimes you do this in terms of what we call the most liquid first, and then you go down to the less liquid. Precisely. So the most could be how much money I got holding right now on my own. I could have $300 in my house or $100 in my pocket. That's part of my liquid. And then my bank account bank account, checkbook, checking account, etc. I could have cash in those. And then I'm going down that to list, maybe I have some share funds, some CRDs, mutual funds or CDs or whatever.
My margin account, my brokerage account that I may have.
And so I'm listing
some bonds
and
some things of that nature.
So anything I could convert to cash is an asset I'm going to be trying to list, and I don't want to miss anything, right?
No, you want to capture all of it, because When you come to saying setting out your priorities and setting out your plans in the future, you want to be able to see the assets that you do have.
Right.
And then identify assets you would like to have. But more importantly, are you getting value out of the assets that you do have?
But so people could be clear, am I listing my furniture? Am I listing my jewelry?
You have all of that that's in there. And put it in the context that you just said. If it is far better for me to convert my jewelry to cash so that I have the ability to invest in a small business, I always have the ability to buy jewelry later on. So I want to know, what are all of those elements that I have some value that I am able to monetize if the circumstances require.
And I'm assigning a realistic value to them, right? I mean,
precisely.
Basically,
not aspirational.
Yeah. Right.
So we know cash is easy. The investments usually come with a statement that is easy enough that you have.
Right.
When you start talking about properties, I am by no stretch of the imagination suggesting you run out to get an appraisal assigned to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look just as simple as in the newspaper for properties that may be listed in the similar areas and what are the prices being listed.
Mm-hmm.
Similar houses or duplexes or triplexes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just to get an understanding. You know what you paid for it.
Right.
If you go back, you look at even the conveyance document that would have had it, you know at the very least that in the absence of there being some very significant event that led to property devaluation, that you know that it's an incremental value. So this is not incurring costs to list your assets.
Right.
This is making sure you have a list, and then you will determine how much you're willing to spend in terms of putting a value on, because this is how you use those assets, particularly when you're looking at saying, how do I go forward to seek support, not on the basis of what I'm going to say, that I am a good credit because I have things that I could show you, even if not formally pledged, that show you that I have used money wisely in the past and accumulated assets.
And then if I have a vehicle, if the vehicle is 3 years old, I know that typically we may depreciate that over, say, 5-10 years, whatever that
exactly.
is, right?
And then we know that the values decline.
Exactly. And so we want to get a sense of that and use that number versus, yeah, man, I sure I could sell this for $30,000. No, you cannot. They will not
exactly.
pay more than $7,000 for that car.
And we all know. And the reason we know is because we know how much we'd pay for it
yes.
if someone came to sell it to us again.
Right.
And so from that perspective, when we put those the information into that format, it gives us a picture of the things that we can monetize. And one of the things that persons do, there are several what I'm going to call initiatives taking place in the country that is going to give you greater use of your assets moving forward. There's a movable collateral register that is being established. So things before that you could not easily pledge, like your inventory, like elements like your tools, your equipment, your vehicles that may have been more difficult, there's now going to be a structured register that is going to be available for all and sundry to see and gives persons who are willing to lend greater confidence that they can place a lien against it and not have you move those without someone having an ability to check it. And equally, the land registry initiative is one that has been announced. And we know the lawyers have indicated there are going to be some time matters in terms of getting things right. These are things that say before, even before where you had these items in your possession or in your ownership stable, the reality is they were more difficult to monetize. And going forward, having a clear understanding of what you have will be in a situation that you will be able to use these for further advancement of where you want to be.
So on the sheet of paper, under that asset title, I've listed all of these, and I've put a value to next to them, and then I'm totaling all of that. So let's say all of that comes to $100,000.
Precisely. You
okay.
know that I have assets of $100,000.
Okay, good. Now, on the right-hand side, I have a top there, liability, and what am I, and I'm listing all these things you would
all
start.
All of the things that I know that I own.
Right.
The easy ones that we have, we know that we have mortgages. We know that we have and these are sort of usually big-ticket items that you see coming out of your salary on a monthly basis. But equally, you have credit card obligations.
Right.
So you may have used the credit card for certain shopping. You did not have an opportunity to pay the balance off, and ultimately you have a continuing obligation because you only, at this point in time, been able to make
the minimum payment. Right.
And so you have that liability.
You might have an overdraft on an account.
You may have an overdraft. You may have monies owing to the persons that you bought the furniture from.
Mm-hmm.
You may have monies owing to the party that you bought the vehicle from.
Mm-hmm.
So you have obligations to parties where ultimately you know that if you are honoring your commitments, what are all of the liabilities that you owe?
Right.
So this, again, is not one of those where you're hiding and saying, well, this person, I paid him in a little while, so you leave.
Everything.
That's like saying, well, I know if I don't attach the blood pressure monitor in the right way, it may show a good result.
we want
putting it on my child.
We want to list everything. We want to list everything.
You list what you have so that you know that at the end of the day, when you list the same way on the asset and on the liabilities, typically you don't have the great difficulty in terms of value, because you typically know what is still outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a statement on the mortgage. There's a statement on the personal loan. There's a statement on the credit card. Even with the purchase hire, there's a balance that you can obtain from those parties. You know who you've borrowed money from and you've not paid back. You may have some people who are more magnanimous and not charging you interest, whereas formal institutions like lending agencies, like purchase hire companies, are charging interest. But ultimately, you have a situation that says you know what balance you owe at the end of the day.
Now let me ask you a question, because we've been talking pretty much like people are doing this as an individual exercise. But what if I'm married and this is our family situation now? Or I might not be married. I just living with this person. We treating each other like we married. How about that? How does that work?
And that really, I would say, start by doing it individually and then being able to consolidate so that you have a picture of both scenarios.
Okay.
Both circumstances. And the reason why I say that is one person may be in better financial health than the other, but the financial circumstances of the household will be on a consolidated basis.
Okay.
No point in not having an understanding of that consolidated
basis. Okay, so let's suppose I'm doing this individually, but I am married and our mortgage is in both our names, the apartment's in both our names, etc. So how am I dealing with that? Am I splitting it?
In those circumstances, typically you have who's the primary and who's the secondary.
Mm.
And the only thing I would say, the consistency, whoever lists the asset on their list of assets lists the liability as well.
Okay.
Even if there's an agreement that we will work jointly, we have joint ownership of the property, we have joint responsibility for the loan, but let us see who has primary responsibility for the payment. And most times, there's one that you cover, this mortgage liability, I'll cover the electricity, the utilities. And so ultimately, just as what we're speaking about, if you do it on an individual basis and then do it on a consolidated basis, it gives you the information that allows you to see when we get to the income and expenses that we'll get to soon, we know what are all of those items that have to come out of our household coffers, if you will.
So we
want them individually and then on a consolidated basis.
Okay, so I've totaled my assets, $100,000. I'm now listed all my liabilities, what I owe, and what I am obligated to pay somebody back for. And I total all that, and it comes out to $75,000. So that's what it comes out to. Am I in a position now to know where my net worth stands?
You are at that point.
Okay.
Because what it says is you have $100,000 and you only owe $75,000, so you are worth $25,000.
Okay, because theoretically, if I were able to liquidate at the values that I had all of my assets, I could then take that and pay off all of my liabilities and I would be left with $25,000.
Precisely.
Okay, so I'm a $25,000-aire.
And so you're on the road to success now, because you are positive.
Now, what if I did my calculations and all my liabilities came to $125,000?
And the reality is, at that point in time, you have now an awareness that you actually, at this point in time, do not even have sufficient assets to cover all of the obligations that you have.
Okay.
Which means that, same way with a health checkup, that is saying in the first instance, okay, my blood pressure is elevated.
Mm-hmm.
In a situation where I have to take deliberate steps.
You're pre-hypertensive.
And you can't run away from that because not paying your obligations is not going to get you out of that circumstance.
Okay. All right.
And
well,
at the same token, not understanding that you need to continue to live is also not going to get you out of that circumstance, but you are now in a situation of awareness.
Super. All right. So, folks, we just did the net worth statement. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we continue this exercise of financial checkup and then the budget. We'll be back after this news break.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all...
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Asheye Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, the first in a series of shows we're doing on personal financial management. Today, we are with Mr. Gowan Bo, the Group CEO of Fidelity, our principal sponsor today and tomorrow. And we're talking about doing a financial checkup. And we're talking about budgeting today. If you want to give us a call at some point, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-425 from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Brother Bo, somebody told me to ask you, when you're calculating your liabilities, how you fit children in that?
tell them this is one of them situations where they didn't ask you to reach. And you may not have understood what commitment you were making when you brought them. So tell them that's one of those intangibles that we have to work in when we get to the expenses. Tell them that it ain't a liability.
No.
That's a long-term asset that has some intrinsic value. But the commitments that are associated with children certainly feel like liabilities. And that's part of what we'll speak about, the planning and budgeting, because you mentioned it with your youngest now going off to university. And so ultimately, again, if we start early on saying that we want to have a family, we want to do certain things, we know that that comes with certain obligations in the future. The question is, do we start setting aside today so that at that point in time, we have an ability to do so? And I hasten to say, this is not suggesting that only persons who can see clear today that they can put aside certain money should have children. That is not what I'm suggesting, but I am making very clear that once you take on that responsibility of a child, there are obligations that come along with that, and there are certain services that are provided, and so you need to ensure that you are making decisions that will allow you to certainly live with dignity and provide for those who are under your care.
Okay, so we did we know our net worth. We had the $25,000 mark on our example, or somebody might be net negative $25,000. Now we're going to do, as a second health check, what?
Our second one is now talking about sort of using the equivalent of our same health, the condition of our heart, right? The blood flow, in terms of how well is it pumping, and you know, is it having any blocked arteries, etc. And the equivalent of that in our financial health is really looking at our income and expenses.
Okay.
So it is looking at in terms of surplus or deficit on an annual basis.
Okay. So to do that, man, we got a blank sheet of paper again.
And on the left-hand side, we start with all of our sources of income.
Okay, so at the top I have income underlined, and now I'm listing all the incomes, okay?
And what I would list these ones in, not so much the order of liquidity like we mentioned on the assets, but this one is in the order of significance.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the primary sources of income?
Mm-hmm.
For most of us, that's our salary and wages.
Mm-hmm.
We may have some investment income, and that could be as simple as we have some banks, term deposits. That could be some bonds.
Mm-hmm.
That could be some shares that we mentioned with on the assets. But these are the aspects or the elements that are available that give us some inflow of cash on a regular basis.
Right. Could be a rental unit.
Rental income, yep. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, second jobs,
mm-hmm.
If we have small businesses, because one of the things that certainly as a banker that I've observed that has been very refreshing and certainly encouraging, during COVID-19, you will be surprised at the number of young entrepreneurs that, even though they have full-time employment, have established side businesses. And I will say, Shivago, that you and I will appreciate that,
right?
Mm-hmm. With mm-hmm. business license, mm-hmm. right? A sole proprietorship, trading as sort of registration, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that perspective, this is showing that there are persons who are saying that, yes, whilst I know that there are difficult circumstances, I've identified a need in the marketplace, and I'm willing to fill that as a way of supplementing my primary income.
Right. I mean, some of us, for instance, somebody may invite you to speak somewhere, and they might give you a stipend or gratuity.
Exactly.
Or
and
something.
That's all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, you don't track that.
Right.
What I will say, and you will probably have experienced similar to me in the beginning, you know, you don't even appreciate how many times you're being asked to speak.
No.
And when you look at it in terms of the time that it takes, the preparation, etc., it is not saying that you use it as a sort of tool to prohibit people from coming by charging, but it is sometimes recognition to say that what you are getting is advice you would normally pay for if you went into a corporate office.
Right.
So if you have an appreciation for what stipends you do receive, you may be surprised at how many opportunities you didn't even just raise the issue.
Mm-hmm.
To say that, you know, is there some compensation that allows me to compensate for the hours that I forego doing something else?
Or you do get it, but you don't realize how much it's contributing $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 to your income, and it's so consistent over time. You could actually say, you know, I'm probably going to do this next year, this year, and the year after.
Precisely, because it says to you that now I have an appreciation for what's coming in. But one of the things I want to draw on, and this is not a self-promotion, it is important that persons learn to deposit whatever income they're getting into the financial system.
Sponsoring the show, you can say what you want.
All right. So from that perspective, and let me say to persons why that becomes important. Because when we start talking about our plans and our budgeting, etc., the ability to borrow is based on your ability to repay. Mm-hmm. If you have full information about all sources of income flowing through your financial records, including your bank accounts, there is greater information for persons to make a lending decision on. Because if I know that you are making, you know, $1,000 a month in speaking engagements, I now know that whilst that's not your primary source of income and that may not be a guaranteed amount on an annual basis, I could look back and say, yes, he's been getting that.
Yeah.
And that is a source of income that he is using to defray his normal operating expenses, including payment obligations.
15 years ago, a contractor came to me frustrated. He said, Mr. Langerman, these banks, because you was a contractor, won't give you no money. They won't lend you. They want job letter and all that kind of stuff. So I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. When you get your money from the jobs you do, what do you do with it? He said, well, I cash the check and I pay my boys and I keep the balance. I said, okay, so let me tell you what I want you to do from now on. I want you to take the check, deposit it to your bank, into your account, and then even if you have to cash it right there and then to pay your boys, you go right ahead, but I want you to do that every time you get paid, every time. I saw him about 3 years later, and he came up to me. He said, Mr. Lang, you don't remember me. I said, not offhand. He said, man, you changed my life. I said, what you mean? He said, man, these banks running after me, man. You told me what to do with my checks from now on and so forth. I've been doing that. They running me down for loans now. I said, there you go.
Exactly. And persons don't appreciate that. I'll tell you what one of the rating agents said to me, and this is not to cast, you know, behemoths get biggity when they say people talking about us. But I had a dinner with one of the rating agencies, and you know what they said? They said, behemoths have a lot of sweet talk.
Hmm.
And it gave me a smile because I said they obviously been coming to the Bahamas a long time because I think sweet talk is a Bahamian vernacular, right? And
embassy person, I won't call anybody's name, told me that too.
But what they said was, if you close your eyes and listen to a Bahamian, all is always well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask for the empirical evidence or the support behind it, you don't always get the same, shall we call it, vigor in terms of the information.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, persons walk into negotiations with lenders, with investors, etc., where they are believing that their ability to articulate what they have should be sufficient,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to saying, well, you don't have to take my word for it. Let me show you what it is that I have.
Right.
And from that perspective, it then becomes, just as you said with the contractor at the time, it moved from, he didn't do anything different.
Nope. Other than?
All he did was ensure that the banks were fully aware
and could track
of all of the information that he had.
And could substantiate all that he was taking in on a regular
basis.
And
there had no reason then to challenge or doubt what he was doing because ultimately he was doing things in the right way.
So all our income is listed on this left-hand side. All of it. And then we total it back to the end.
And we know that that is what we have on the annual basis.
$45,000.
Divide that by 12.
$45,000.
So a monthly amount.
Okay, let's say $48,000. So we end up with an even number. So $48,000 is the total income on a yearly basis divided by 12 is $4,000 a month.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we know that that's the income we have. And we know this is the income we have in, as it relates to the annual income, because we'll come back to that because we know that some of this may be earned at different points.
Points, yeah.
But I say that you do it on the annual one and divide by four because
it averages.
Eventually all of this is going to come in.
Yeah, it averages. So now we have all our income on that right, left-hand side column. Now on the right-hand column, what are we doing?
That's when we have stress. That's when we say we don't want to go to the doctor no more.
This is the expenses.
Because this is the expenses.
Okay.
And this is when we hear persons start with sometimes a defeatist attitude saying, how am I going to make it? But the reality is they're not listing out everything, and I'll come back to why it's important to list it out. Because ultimately, if we have an awareness of money, sometimes we may be surprised at where we are losing opportunity and monies that we could be benefiting from.
Okay, so what are we listing in our expenses then?
So on the expenses side, this one is also in order of priority in the largest expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember on the liabilities, we listed out all of the obligations and loans that we had. So mm-hmm. we had mortgage potentially, we had personal loan, we had the credit card. All of those have minimum monthly payments.
Mm-hmm.
We could pay more if we wish, but each of them has a monthly commitment. The furniture that we purchase, the car that we purchase, all of them have associated with them minimum monthly payments.
Right. So I get up my house mortgage or rent.
Or rent, and I was going to come saying you may not have a mortgage, but you certainly need a roof over your head in order of priority in terms of the largest ones.
Right.
Rent would be certainly a significant amount, if not a mortgage that's being paid.
Mm-hmm.
We then have to look at it in terms of, okay, we have some big bills. We know that no matter whether we own the property or rent the property, we have utilities.
Mm-hmm.
We know that every week...
Light, water, cable.
Electricity. Well, light is electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And we have equally, as it relates to that, we also have certain utilities that we may not see. Cooking gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not every day or it's not a monthly billing because it's only when you order it.
Yeah.
But in order for you to cook food, you have to have gas, propane, or electricity if it's an electric stove. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be looking at saying not only those that you see every day, but literally doing a brainstorming and saying all of the expenses that I need.
Mm-hmm.
We also have day-to-day living. So you have your children's either school fees or costs associated with getting them to school. But before getting there,
Guy feed them children.
We got a food put on the table.
And that ain't small these days.
And that's a significant bill because, as we know, which is a whole different topic and show for yourself, inflation mm-hmm. in the Bahamas, unfortunately, is not dictated to by the powers that be in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it means that we have to know how much it costs us when we go to the food store. We have to know what it costs us in terms of providing sustenance for our father or not that is in the food store bill or in some of the meals that we may have intervening during the week when we talk about things like breakfast, etc., or the 99 cents that used to exist, although I don't think it's 99 cents anymore.
Producer shaking his head going, eh-eh.
And then, but I will also add to this that we don't put in the things that we spend on in terms of food that we don't necessarily need to. So the specialty coffee, the sweets and pastries and danishes. Model Bakery knows that they get a portion of my mortgage every month because every week I grew up on it. It's one that I love and will always do so. And I ask of children who love it as well. But these are items that are not in the food store, not always be paid attention to because they are impulse spends.
Right.
And then, but those are still expenditures that you have.
And then you got the car loan.
You have the car. You have the fuel that has to go into the car.
Right.
You also have the annual maintenance cost mm-hmm. because, again, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure.
Mm-hmm.
So budgeting and saying, how much does it cost me for annual service?
Mm-hmm. Servicing.
And as it gets older, that annual service becomes more costly.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, it is a situation that says, okay, there's more work that has to be done in order to keep it running.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us have different expenditures, but I'm going to throw something else in that we don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
How much will it cost me to continue my professional education or my development? So not formally going back to school, but think about the wide array of available courses that you can do online that may have smaller subscription amounts that allow you to start to hone your craft so that you are in a situation that says, I looked at my income, I want to see where I can extend that, but what are the costs or what are the investments that I have to make in order to do so? You may not be outright expending that now, but it is making sure that you are putting in this whole listing of expenses, because expenses side, we're going to come back to because we have to speak about a word that we don't like, but it's prioritization. So if we know expenses that we have on the right-hand side, starting from the major ones in terms of roof over their head, utilities, and loan payments, right down to food,
house insurance, car insurance,
insurances, all of the expenditures. And again, I go back to saying a plug for running things through your accounts. Having your bank account that you pay all your utility bills on your credit card or your debit card. You pay your insurances on your debit card or your credit card, because no business is permitted to, in the Bahamas agreement, surcharge. So if the insurance is $1,000, whether you pay that by check, by cash, or your debit card or your credit card, they only could charge you $1,000. And you will be amazed at being able to track the statement. So my daughter, Fidelity, is now what we call a wearable. So there's a band that is a prepaid card effectively. She loves that because she has her independence. She can go into the various food outlets. She can order and she can tap and she can pay it. The only thing she doesn't like is because I could see what she's paying because it comes under me. And I get a text message saying that it was McDonald's or it was Starbucks or during the Christmas when it was John Bull and it was only for the mother, not for the father. Right.
You sound like I tell people when I don't hear from my daughter, I hear from my daughter because the Uber people that send me this note say, please tip Raja. I say, me and Raja ain't never take no ride together.
I don't even know who Raja is. Right? But what it is, one has taught me is even for provider her statements to say this is where you've expended. So when you run your income through your bank accounts and you equally use online banking, you use your debit cards, you use all of the tools available to you so that it runs through your financial records again, there is greater clarity in terms of what your expenditure is. So you have one, that understanding. Because if you like me, cash seems to dissipate. I wouldn't even say disappear. Dissipate. Because I swear that I had $20. And it just seemed to
exist no more. I don't know, bro. I don't know. I think there's a ghost. I think there's a ghost in the house.
That just comes, you know, into your pocket or into your bedroom and just removes money that you knew you had.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Once in a while, the ghost has dropped something you didn't remember and you find it. Usually the reverse things. So the reality is once I now know all of my expenses,
I total that. Let's say that.
I remember we had $48,000 for the year, $4,000 a month.
We totaled it and we got $43,000 in expenses.
And so we know from that perspective that our monthly expenses is just above $37.50 a month. So we know that we ultimately sitting in a situation that says, okay, we actually on a monthly basis have our ability to cover all of our expenses. But you know, one of the line items we did not add in.
Didn't get.
That is very important.
Didn't get it
is
in.
Is savings.
Savings. We didn't put a savings in.
So if we totaled at 43, that's good news.
Right.
Because we can save $5,000.
Yep.
We totaled $47,500. And we didn't have savings.
Now we're in a deficit situation on an annual basis.
Because we have not yet, we're not earning sufficient to cover all of our expenses.
Okay. And so now I know if I'm bleeding out or I am okay, right?
Precisely. I understand if my heart is stressed or if it has a normal flow that is getting through all of the organs and no blockages.
Right.
So I'm sitting in a circumstance, but bear in mind that only governments, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, can spend more than they earn for
a long period of time without it coming to a head at some point. It will for even
exactly.
The government.
It will.
It will.
But
for
it takes a long
time.
But individuals, we know that if we miss a loan payment, you have a phone call you're receiving.
Yeah. You know,
if you do not pay the rent, you have a landlord that is visiting you.
Right. So
if you do not buy food, you have some further consequences in terms of ability to study, concentrate, etc.
Yeah.
So we know that if we are in a situation where we are spending more than we are earning, there are going to be real-life consequences very short.
And that has an implication for your net worth statement, because ultimately that means you have to find a way to finance the deficit, which ultimately means borrowing from your auntie, mommy, uncle, child, or the bank, and/or. And so therefore your net worth is going to go down if your asset situation isn't going up, because you're funding this deficit that you're having, right?
And using credit cards or others,
Exactly.
Right? Just to float us through.
Right.
And again, it goes back to saying I'm not making the judgment that persons do not have difficult circumstances.
Sure.
Because that is the reality. But if you know your income and you know your expenses, the next thing, I call that the information part of the sort of financial health checkup and the budgeting process. That's getting the information necessary to know your net worth and your surplus or deficit on an annual basis.
Before we go further, so we can then vent that next discussion, let's take this break and pay our respects to our sponsors. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be right back after this break.
We'll taste better. At the Burger King Nassau, you'll see our legendary Whopper with cheese is made with 100% flame-grilled beef for that juicy and smoky barbecue flavor you love. Topped with fresh ingredients and nestled in an even fluffier bun. And right now, enjoy BK's Whopper with cheese combo with fries and a drink for just $9, including that. The King gives more food and more flavor for an unbeatable price. Taste the flame-grilled difference at any of Burger King's 7 locations in Nassau.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Public transportation drivers,
start your day the smart way.
Roca's gas station. Get a whopping 12 cents per gallon off diesel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's unheard of, but it's true. Roca's loyalty card saves you money, and it's free. Get yours now on the spot. Wide entrance, multiple pumps, no congestion. In and out fast. The Malawala Highway and Faith Avenue.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for this first in a series of shows we're doing on personal financial management. Today, we're here with Mr. Gawin Bo, who's the group CEO of Fidelity. And Fidelity is our major sponsor today and tomorrow as we continue with these series of shows. We've been going through a financial health check. We know what our net worth is. We know what our income versus expense situation is. And now we're going to go find out some more about what this means for how healthy, unhealthy we are. Mr. Bo? Make sure you're unmuted.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So we got to a situation where we now knew what our expenditure and our monthly income was, and we also spoke about ensuring that we have savings plugged in there, mm-hmm. which we didn't do. But before we even get to the savings and when we look at our expenditure, most times on the income side, there's not a lot that can be done in the short term to change those income elements.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, yes, there are things that we can do, like I spoke about professional development, I spoke about sort of self-study and making ourselves more productive in the workforce so that we have an ability to earn more. But most of those things take time and also require opportunity.
Mm.
On the expenditure side, however, there is an element of prioritization. And this is one where the rubber hits the road in our Bahamian context.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's not unique to Bahamians, but we certainly look at certain aspects, and when we see the challenges that face us, we oftentimes look to, well, where does support come from, whether in the form of government support or in the form of others, right, who we believe should recognize our circumstances and be more charitable, if you will, in that regard, right? An employer should pay me more without having the conversation, well, do I produce more? And that's not by saying an employer should exploit. If you are a highly productive employee and for a business, you should be equitably compensated. But at the same time, you have to ensure that the argument that you have relative to why you are deserving a certain amount are supported by the effort that you put into it. So when we talk about prioritization, I drew out the specialty coffee. I drew out the elements like the actual love for the bread at Model Bakery. Those were things that are what I'm going to call luxury items and not necessities.
You know, if I might quickly, because sometimes, because we've had this discussion before, and then what some people do is they kind of have this visceral reaction to, well, just getting a something from Bamboo Shack isn't a luxury, but it's not, what you're talking about is looking at your. So you can't do much on your income side of things for the short run. And if you haven't looked at your financial picture, you say, well, things are not where I need them to be, and you want to do something about it. Well, on the income side of it, you're not going to be able to do something about it right away. But what you're talking about is looking at the expense side of it and looking at your controllables.
Your controllable elements. And
right.
I'm glad you used that word.
Yeah,
probably the better one.
Yeah.
What are the things that I can make a choice on?
Right.
Or have the greater ability to make a
choice on right.
that I can forego now in order to address the challenge that I see in terms of my expenses being higher than my income allows it to support.
Because I'm into fidelity for a loan obligation on the house, on the car, on the whatever. I'm into it unless I sell them things, and that's it. I'm into it for that.
I have that obligation.
Okay, and if
so
I'm going to have a house and it's going to need an insurance for the bank loan to be secured, then I'm in for the house insurance, so I got to pay that, right?
And the reality is, even if I didn't have the mortgage,
it still makes
sense.
I have
the ability to replace it in the event of
something
happens. So
exactly.
It's something that says that I need the protection in order to be able to provide that, so that in the event of something that is beyond my personal capacity to replace, I can do so with the support of insurance.
Exactly. So let me just say this for you guys to understand exactly what Mr. Bo is saying too, is because if I show you my budget on the expense side of it, what you will see at top is not just liabilities, you will see fixed liabilities. So I list under there all the things that are really going to change month to month for me. These are payments I have to make. And then I subtotal that to say this is what my fixed liabilities are. And then I go for variables. And variables might be things that I could do something about. You know, how much grocery I buy is on me. I still got to buy grocery, but what I buy is on me and these kinds of things. So these are controllables.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of saying that as we go down, I think sometimes people see prioritization or the word prioritization as meaning less than, or that I have to see myself as a lower class. And
mm-hmm.
that's not the situation.
Mm-mm.
It is saying that my circumstances don't allow me to do certain things
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at certainly our forefathers, and I look at the conversations that I would have with grandparents and parents that they sacrifice in order to make that school fee payment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There were things that they would forego today that they know that, yes, all goes well, in a few years' time, I would be able to do. And oftentimes, we get into a very self-interest state where we believe, well, everything we believe is a must. We should have, and then someone else needs to help us figure out how we can fill that gap. So do I need, coming out of university, a $25,000 car versus a car that is functional and will give me a good 3-4 years that may only cost me $7,000? Do I need to have 17 when an iPhone 13, 14 still functional, if I'm wedded to iPhone, or that I need just a smart device that allows me to have the apps and the ability to do things by accessing internet, et cetera?
Do I need to move out on my own right now and have an apartment and all the expenses associated with that when mommy and daddy may have a big house we all grew up in and it's now really essentially empty and I can make an arrangement with them that that includes contributing to the household, but less than what I would do for a few years as I, with their agreement. With their agreement.
To allow me to build. And most parents will say that today, I think there are, and let us be clear, there are some what I'm going to call national issues that need to be addressed in the long term. And we talk about the cost of property and the cost of housing in terms of for young professionals, et cetera. We know, and that's not unique to the Bahamas, that's the world over, that there's no new land being developed. So this is just a situation of economics, supply and demand. As supply reduces and demand still exists, prices change, right? And we know that there are some initiatives that we have to consider. We also know that inflation and the cost of goods, not always controllable by things we do locally, particularly given that we consume or we import 90 to 95% of what we consume. So we know, and that's clothing, food, so I'm not just talking about literally put into our mouths, fuel, the things that we use in our day-to-day lives, the vast majority is imported. And so we are dependent on the price points in those jurisdictions that produce and export to us. So when we see the realities that say there are some external factors that we don't have full control over, it becomes more important that we take full control of our internal factors, that we recognize how it is that we prioritize. And when we do the prioritization, not with a defeatist attitude that I will not live like my neighbor lives, but with the viewpoint that I don't know what my neighbor did to get where they are, but I know this is what I'm going to do in order for me to get to the same position, but with less stress on myself. And so I'm able to set aside sort of the immediacy. An old mentor that said, my generation, and I smile because I think they would be shocked at the generation that came after me, microwave generation, right, that wants everything now. And it is about the discipline, which is the final component to any financial health checkup, and the solutions that you have. So I guess let's go to some of the solutions.
Well, well,
the first one was the prioritization.
So can I say this to, so, because we've done this health checkup to know where we are, to develop a plan to get where we need to be, right? Okay, good.
So we're now in a situation, well, put it this way, and that's why I say the prioritization. We know what our net asset or net liability position is. If we're in net liability, we know that we have to budget and forecast that we are going to pay back more in the future, because we need to get out of this net liability position.
Right.
So our monthly obligations are going to be such that before we could even contemplate taking on any more debt, we have to regularize ourselves to a situation where we're in a more positive circumstance, where our future borrowings will lend to some asset that ideally will accrete with value far faster than an asset that will depreciate along with the loan being amortized. So once we're in a circumstance where we now have an appreciation that our net financial position tells us what our future looks like in the immediate term, and we have our surplus or our deficit on our monthly and annual expenditure, those things allow us to get into a budgeting cycle that says we need to prioritize. And if we go back to remember where we started and the conversations in, we'll be looking forward, ideally, several years. So if I know that I want to have home ownership as one of my objectives, when I look at my expenditure, remember we had savings that we said we didn't speak about. Well, what are some of the challenges that we see young persons run into? It's an absence of a deposit. So if I know I need to accumulate a deposit, how am I going to start working towards that? Even if it is only $10 a week, $20 a week, until our fiscal circumstances allow us to start to put more. But the discipline of setting aside money with a purpose to help us build sort of assets to help us further our objectives in life is more important than the amount you do in the beginning. Because the willingness and the familiarity or the consistency of setting aside immediate pleasure for long-term planning and objectives allows us to build a practice that will serve us well into the future.
So
in terms,
go ahead. Yep.
And I was only going to say, and in terms of the solutions, it is being able to sit down. Sometimes once we've put all of these numbers and information together, it's sitting down next to a person who has an objective role in your life to sit down and say, well, let's look at this critically and make some hard decisions. And I mean that with a person who has some fidelity, we offer you financial coaching free of charge. And we go through what we've done today on the show, by and large, to simply ensure that you are not borrowing from us and remain a slave to the debt. That you have an ability, if you are willing to take the advice and make the action steps later on, that that debt that may be necessary today because of the circumstances do not become a shackle on you in terms of what you can do in the future, because you start taking steps today because of an awareness of your financial health about your future.
Okay, we're going to take our final break. We have some text here I need to read for you, sir. But we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to continue and finish our discussions today on your financial checkup. I think I could do mine based on budgeting. And we'll be back after this break.
Your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For pulp magazines and flyers, for window decals, reading cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Looking for a future that's hands-on and in demand? Discover the True Blue and You Open House at the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute. Friday, February the 6th, 2026, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at BTVI's New Providence Main Campus, Old Trail Road. There's free admission, live entertainment, exciting giveaways, trade department coupons, and more. That's BTVI's Open House this February the 6th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. See you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather comes.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to this last few moments of today's show where we have been speaking with Mr. Gowan Bo, the group CEO of Fidelity Group of Companies, our principal sponsor for the first of a series of shows we're doing for financial management. So we know where we stand by net worth. Some of you may still have to do this exercise. So you have a plan to do it going home. You know where you stand in terms of income versus expenses. You now know, okay, I don't like where I am, or I'd like to be in a better place, even if I'm in an okay place. And so now I know that I have to prioritize, meaning put first things first. What are the things I first need to think about and look at in order to change or to adjust to get where I want to go? And then I start putting a plan in place to take next steps to do that. Am I capturing what you said, Mr. Bo?
Precisely.
Okay. Well, we have some text of them. This person says, I asked Mr. Bo how it would benefit Fidelity Bank by eliminating checks. What would they then charge us for making online transfers when me and Lutra don't have internet or electricity most of the time? Really? Isn't Elutra booming?
Yeah, let me. I know that's a different show.
You'll
bring me back to address that. I think that again, sometimes we get attached to behaviors, and I would sort of frame it this way. When you and I were in university, we used to have to write letters home and wait for letters to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Our children pick up a phone and they do FaceTime, Zoom. And we are almost like we see them in person. The way we banked and the going into a physical location to deposit cash, and we expected the cash in the vault there. It moved to the passbook, to the bank statement, to then a debit card, credit card, etc., and then online banking. The move on checks is solely an evolution in terms of saying that checks are still susceptible to high rates of fraud in terms of the actual photocopying or duplication of them, particularly with technology today. It also is one that is less efficient in terms of the settlement process, subject to loss and all manner of elements. But I accept the caller's viewpoint that the banking system has to recognize that the cost of the alternative being the online and electronic payment certainly not supportive. And I think that the central bank is taking steps in that regard, and the banks are not averse to that, certainly not my institution. And I think we recognize that this evolution is not about a profit. This one is about making the system safer and more efficient.
Okay. This says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and your guest. Excellent show, which is more than timely. Yay, those areas described as luxury items, they have been identified as leakages that contribute to us losing large sums over a period of time. They are regularly overlooked, as you have alluded to, says that texter.
Mm-hmm.
This text says, Mr. Lang, I think you all should look at some intangible costs as well, like peace of mind, stress, or not being able to function on a job when living at home, when choosing to move out, etc. That's true. I mean,
very real. Mental health, and to that same texter, the truth is, when you look at that on your expenses, what do you see as being the elements that you seek to put in place to address those? So I only put it this way. Again, it goes to prioritization. We are gifted where within 5 minutes you can be on a beach with the ocean air, with no care around you, and that can provide you peace of mind and tranquility. You may need to have a massage. That is one that allows you to decompress for a period of time. You may need to speak to a professional. And so when you're thinking about your expenses, by all means, if those are elements that you see as critical to your day-to-day functioning, then factor them in. But don't lose sight of the fact that our beautiful waters may do all of the tension relief that you need, as opposed to the viewpoint that jumping on a plane gives you that same relief. Because actually, most Baymans who jump on a plane have more stress because they don't relax until they get back.
Until they get back? You mean until they get past customs, eh?
Back meaning at home.
This text says, good day. Please ask Mr. Bo, if my mortgage was $400,000 and it's now $150,000, $250,000that was paid off, that we be used as can be used as asset, or am I on my balance sheet? I think I know exactly the question they're asking.
Yeah, I think they're asking about equity in it. And so remember when we said on your asset side, you're putting a realistic value. Say to you is, if you paid $400,000 for it, you know that that's at the very least the cost that you expected to have been maintained as long as you've done your repairs, maintenance, and capital along. You may even have an ability to look at what houses or developments in the same area as you are selling for today, so you have that value. The reality is, whatever that number is, let's say it's $400,000 or it's gone up to $450,000, the outstanding obligation is still $150,000 that you just mentioned. So you may actually have $300,000 in your net worth if you have a property
increase,
worth $450,000.
Your
net worth has increased. And one of the things that people may not appreciate is every time you pay down debt with an asset that continues to develop in value, you increase your net worth.
Absolutely. And I think that's very important, because a lot of people think that they, when in fact, you, as you're saying, if you're paying down that credit card and not increasing debt, if you're paying down that house mortgage and not increasing debt, if you're paying down that loan, car loan, your net worth is going up. You're becoming a wealthier person.
Every time. And I think persons don't realize, again, it goes by incremental steps. There are a number of Bahamians who have been very successful because they started by a multifamily unit when they were young, and the income they earned by the units that they were not living in afforded them to continue to either buy a home of their dreams later on or to continue to buy other properties and continue to expand. So every time you pay off debt and the asset continues to accrete, you are building net worth, and that gives you an ability to leverage that, where you can then say, equity in property that allows me to do other things. And it may not be another property. It may be to buy shares in a company that has a good return. It may be to invest in a small business that gives you an opportunity to use the assets that you have. I will qualify only by this one, that we often believe that the having an asset is automatically, an equity in an asset is automatically an entitlement to borrowing against it. And it goes back to borrowing is really tied to your ability
to
repay.
Pay back.
So if you have a house, but it's not on rent, it's not generating any income, yes, there's equity in it, but you need to have on that income side we spoke about sufficient cash flow to allow you to pay back. And the property is only pledged as collateral to say, in the event something happens, you have something in your hand that will help you to recover what it is that you lent.
I always tell people, don't lead with collateral, because if you lead with collateral, you're leading with failure, because collateral only matters when things fail. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang, and I just wanted to say thanks to you and Mr. Bo for these financial planning tips and shared life experiences. I sure hope that the Ministry of Education has our students tuned in to this show to assist our generation to be more disciplined in their spending. You are my favorite people and so respected for all that you continue to do. Well, we appreciate that. Glad it was helpful.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Glad it was helpful. Any final words, sir? We got 1 minute left.
You know, I'll end by this, which we didn't get a chance much on. Debt is not a bad thing. Debt is a bad thing when it is not able to be repaid comfortably out of the cash. But we should look at our financial health as giving us an indication on when we can take advantage of our past experiences to put us further ahead as we plot out our course for future life. And that may mean borrowing for the purposes of productive use. That may mean reducing debt so that we are, as we age, we get closer to a position where we owe nobody and we have an ability to live without stress of persons chasing behind us. But a goal without a plan is just a wish. And today is the start of that journey by saying you at least have a financial checkup and you now have the ability to set your goal with a plan that's set alongside it. And hopefully that's going to help you to achieve them.
Many thanks to you, sir, and Fidelity for partnering with us to get this information to people. We appreciate you and appreciate all the information you gave today.
Time and always a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. God's best life. We'll be back to get you again tomorrow. Take care.